Good afternoon. I'll call the Monday, March 2nd meeting of the Senate Committee on Commerce and Workforce to order. And members, the first thing on our agenda is our final measure introduction, and you should have in front of you a summary sheet of 8 LCs that have been put before us for committee bill introduction. As we've said so many times before today, these bills are just here to put them into the process. They are not here, nor does voting for a motion to introduce them imply that you support them, that you oppose them, or even that you have read them, since some of these, the ink is still damp and the copies are probably still warm. So I'm going to just read through the summary, and then I'll entertain a motion to introduce them. So there are 8 of them, and they're in numerical order, and copies are in front of you. The first one is LC 2486, and this one deals with medical marijuana in the workplace. Second is LC 2931, requiring the use of half of 1% of federal highway funds for on-the-job highway construction training. Next is LC 2933, which creates a construction diversity oversight board. LC 2934 creates a contractor and workforce diversity pilot program. LC 2945 deals with the public employee retirement system and looks like it makes several changes, which you see listed in front of you. LC 3371 changes the basis on which cities calculate the privilege tax. LC 3539 establishes a grant program to fund technical education in high schools. And finally, LC 3619 directs the joint boards of higher education to develop renewable energy and energy efficiency curricula to serve the needs of employers. So those are the last remaining LCs, and since it is 3:15 and the deadline is coming up at 5 o'clock, I think Pam is eagerly awaiting our action so that she can turn these in. So, Senator Telfer, do you have a motion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would move that we introduce the following LCs as committee bills, and I will list them. LC 2486 dated 1-2109, LC 2931 dated 1-2-09, LC 2933 dated 2-23-09, LC 2934 dated 2-24-09, LC 2945 dated 3-2-09, LC 3371 dated 2-17-09, LC 3539 dated 2-17-09, and LC 3619 dated 2-26-09.
Thank you, Senator Telfer. Senator Telfer has moved that LCs 2486, 2931, 2933, 2934, 2945, 3371, 3539, and LC 3619 be introduced as committee bills. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Seeing none, it is so ordered. And Pam, take it away. Okay, thank you, members. Next thing on our agenda is a bill hearing. So I will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 213. And Jeremy, would you please tell us a little bit about this bill?
Madam Chair and committee members, Senate Bill 213 deals with the tobacco master tax settlement. It includes out-of-state and internet sellers of tobacco products to Oregon consumers under Oregon regulation. It clarifies the applicability of specific tobacco regulations to all persons and provides for a civil penalty of up to $5,000 per violation.
And members, we tried an experiment before this hearing, I think on Friday, of electronically sending you the staff measure summary, and so I don't know how many of you saw that ahead of time, but if that works for you, that will certainly save some paper as well as save people from having to run around and deliver these things
save
to your office.
Save paper? Someone's going to have to print it out. Shifting the cost of doing legislative business to the offices, aren't we?
Cost shifting.
Cost shifting, yes.
Well, We're calling it an efficiency measure. You can call it whatever you want. Okay, so we have one witness signed up to testify on this bill, and it is Lisa Udland. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing your name correctly, but please come forward and tell us about this bill.
Senator Rosenbaum, members of the committee, my name is Lisa Udland, and I'm an attorney, assistant attorney general at the Oregon Department of Justice. I'm here to testify today in support of Senate Bill 213. This is primarily a housekeeping bill relating to ORS 180.400 to 180.455. By way of general background, in 1999, Oregon, along with a number of other states, entered into the Tobacco Master Settlement Agreement, which we call the MSA. Pursuant to the MSA, in order to receive approximately $140 to $160 million per biennium, Oregon agreed to enact and enforce escrow statutes. Oregon's escrow statutes are located at 323-800 to 323-806. Subsequently, in the 2003 legislative session, Oregon enacted what we call complementary legislation. This is the 180-400 to 180-455. That legislation was enacted to enhance Oregon's ability to enforce those escrow statutes. Part of the complementary legislation includes the creation of what we call the Directory of Compliant Tobacco Product Manufacturers and Brands. It's basically a list of compliant products that can be sold in the state of Oregon. ORS 180.440 specifically restricts the ability of persons to sell products in Oregon that are not listed on the directory. The primary purpose of this bill is a housekeeping to clarify that the prohibitions contained in 180-440 apply equally to sales occurring both in the state, in brick-and-mortar stores and via the Internet. The bill does this by removing the language in this state in 180-440. It's our position that the statute already actually covers Internet sellers, and this position has been upheld at the trial court level. At this point, however, we want to avoid continuing litigation over this issue, so we're hoping to go around and not have that part of the statute anymore so that we can avoid some litigation. The bill further amends ORS 180-455. The prohibitions in 180-440 apply to persons, while the remedies apply to distributors. And while we have not encountered it, it may be the case that there will be persons who also don't qualify as distributors, so we will have no remedy against them. Finally, the bill gives the Department of Justice a civil penalty remedy in addition to injunctive relief, and that will allow us to have an immediate monetary sanction rather than simply just the injunction. Our recommendation is you pass this out of committee with a due pass recommendation, and I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Any questions for Ms. Udland? Yes, Senator George.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I'm trying to understand why you would change it from distributor to person. Let's say, for instance, we have a constituent that goes to the Indian reservation and buys cigarettes and doesn't buy any of them through the Oregon stores, but buys them in a less taxed area and then brings them home and smokes them. Will this allow you guys to go after them personally for their own personal use?
I guess what I'm trying to get at is that,
as I understand, because I'm not a smoker, but as I understand, Indian reservations have tobacco that isn't taxed or low tax or those types of things. Why would you need to go after a person rather than a distributor?
Senator Rosenbaum, members of the committee, Senator George, the purpose here is that of this bill is that there may be persons selling over the Internet, and that's the target of this. There may be persons who, for whatever reason, don't have a distributor's license or don't fit the technical definition of distributor, and those are the persons we're going after here. As far as Indian sales, sales on Native American reservations, the majority of those are covered by compacts where they're already taxed, and so that they wouldn't really come into play. A person purchasing that product, as you described, wouldn't really come into play here.
Follow up?
Yes, go ahead.
I guess what I'm trying to get at is, what I don't want, it seems like to me, if a person is using it for personal use, I don't really care what. What we're really concerned about is people trying to use the differential between the tax and not paying the tax as their market advantage to their distribution channels. So I'm trying to think of a definition of why we would need to change it from distributor to person unless we are planning on going after individual Oregonians. That's what I'm worried about for their own personal use. And I'm trying to figure out under what situation the term distributor wouldn't fit appropriately for what we're trying to go after.
Well, Senator Rosenbaum, Senator George, members of the committee, what we've seen as part of our litigation with these folks is that they sell it on the internet, and we also have to argue with them about whether they technically qualify as a distributor. They don't have a distributor's license because they're not in Oregon and they're not physically located in Oregon, and they may not be complying with Oregon law, so they won't have a distributor's license. And we want them to not be able to say, well, I don't have a distributor's license, I'm not a distributor, this doesn't apply to me.
Does that answer your question, Senator George?
Not really, but I guess it.
Mr.
Hi, welcome to the Commerce Committee. Please identify yourself for the record.
For the record, my name is Fred Boss. I'm Chief Counsel of the Civil Enforcement Division at the Oregon Department of Justice. Chair Rosenbaum, Senator George, maybe if I can assist with answering this question. These statutes go after people who are selling tobacco products and selling cigarettes, not the individual users themselves, and they are aimed to enforce the statutes that we have here in Oregon that state that people who sell tobacco products or sell cigarettes must either be part of this master settlement agreement and pay money that eventually goes to the state, or set aside money in escrow, which is the functional equivalent of that amount, in an escrow. So it's only for folks that are selling products. It's not for the individual Oregonian that goes someplace and purchases tobacco products to smoke in their house or wherever. So that's who we're going after. There is a defined term as a distributor within these statutes. There may be the instance in which somebody who is selling tobacco products or cigarettes are not a licensed tobacco distributor here for an Oregon licensed tobacco distributor, yet they are selling tobacco products over the internet. And we want to make sure that our laws that say you must either sign up for the Master Settlement Agreement or put aside money in escrow apply to those people.
And I think just looking at the bill, the first section of the bill actually does refer to a person may not do several things, which includes selling cigarettes.
Senator Rosenbaum, may I add?
Yes, please go ahead.
If you look at
if you could just say your name again.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Lisa Edmund again. Thank you. If you look at 184.55. There are a number of remedies that are allowed to the Department of Revenue, and some of these apply to, and you can see it's actually on your bill sheet here, they apply to distributors, but they also apply to persons. And so sometimes the remedies that the Department of Revenue has for these same things are applied to persons. And so we just wanted to make it all consistent so that when we're talking about the violation can't be done by a person, that the Department of Justice has that remedy against persons, not just the Department of Revenue.
Madam Chair.
Yes, go ahead, Senator George.
If I could, do you know offhand where the definition of distributor is in the statute?
Excuse me, Senator Rosenbaum, Senator George. If you look in 18400, it will refer you to the correct statute, and I apologize, I don't have it there, but I believe it's in 323.
Thank you.
Do you want us to wait for a minute?
No,
go
ahead.
Okay, are there other questions for the department? Okay, seeing none, thank you very much for your testimony. And that completes our sign-up sheet. Is there anybody else who wants to testify on Senate Bill 213? Well, seeing no one, I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 213. Members, we do not have a fiscal impact statement yet on this bill. We've requested one, so the bill has no revenue impact, but we can't take the bill up in work session until we get the fiscal back. So with nothing further to come before us, members, I guess we are adjourned.